isn't that effectively the situation we've got now in that we've got X amount of seats, which is 22 or 21, and some high percentage of them, 7 or 8, about a third, are elected directly by the staff. Now, there are less than 400 staff, and there are 20,000 subscribers. So
30,000.
Well.
20,000.
Okay, whatever.
So that effectively is already the same situation. You don't have to describe it in terms of giving them multiple votes. They already have a larger proportion of votes.
It's a different way of addressing that issue.
Well, if there's a reason to divide those votes up, then it would make sense to do it that way. But you haven't indicated any way in the election in which we would be using these multiple votes. So I don't see how it applies, why you want to change the way it is now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to keep going around. Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, look, Carol, I'm sorry, I'm Mary.
Oh, Ashley,
okay.
I think Gary.
Oh, Gary, I'm sorry, Gary.
In terms of the staff, again, the same issue. You know, in reality, the staff, there are two features that that speak against necessarily being more attentive to the mission. Right now, I think people would be, and people are excited, but as you go down the line in future history, people get farther away from the mission. You forget where the roots were, and people who are staff members are paid, and their careers to be thought of, and sometimes people drift from the mission, whereas the listener has nothing to gain but the information that comes to them. So I am uncomfortable with that as well.
Okay, well, I would suggest that the multiple could be a fraction also. It doesn't have to be like more than anybody else. It could be if you feel that they should have less input because they have a vested interest and a conflict of interest, perhaps, then you could even give them a lesser.
Okay, so and then
or the same, they could be no discrimination. Mm-hmm.
And then the other question was: Have you given any consideration to a bicameral type of system, where you'd have, which would help? It's basically the same argument that was present, not being a historian, but the same argument that appears to have been present at the beginning of this country, of smaller states saying, "Hey, we want a share of this. We don't want to be X'd out of this thing," of having. You know, a set of directors elected, and a proportional model, and another one that is linear. In other words, equal. You know, once KPFT being much smaller area than KPFA, still in that seat, gets an equal say.
Mm. You're describing something
like
the
government
of a well-known country.
Yeah.
I would address that by my comment to that point would be that ultimately. We're constrained by the mission statement, by the definition of the purpose of the corporation. We're constrained by that definition. We're not like a nation where anything goes, any policy goes, and it's all up to the democratic process. We don't have that freedom. We're constrained by the definition of the purpose of the corporation. So that acts as a check on. And ultimately, the national board gets to decide whether we're meeting that mission statement or not.
I'm thinking more in terms of buy-in of the other areas buying into a proportional representation. There might be KPFT might have some strong feelings against that. You know?
They might. Okay, let's keep going around. Carol?
Under your model of differently weighted votes for staff and listeners, would everyone be voting on the same candidates? So, for instance, there might be 20 candidates and 5 seats, and each staff person had 5 votes, and each subscriber had 1. But we'd be voting on the same candidates.
Yes.
That's your model. That's different from what we're doing right now, where staff members elect staff members, and listeners elect listeners. Right? I mean, it's possible that, for instance, under your model, Eileen could be running and I could be running and we would all be voting on each other across those divides of listener staff member. Is that correct? Am I understanding your model?
That's great.
Yes. There would be everyone would be voting on the same bank of candidates for the local governing board, and whether or not there is a weighted voting for the staff or not is
right.
open question.
So understanding your model then.
Yeah. Yes. And the process would be basically the preference voting that has already been established, modified according to the criteria that we also want to include the ethnic and
right,
so on.
Right. Understanding your model, I'm kind of coming back to where Kurt was. I think that the local board that we have right now actually has staff members on it and listener members on it, and a pretty good ratio. That seems to work pretty well. My thoughts about it are this, that with staff electing staff, they know them and they know how they operate around the station and can evaluate each other's points of view. Mm-hmm. If I'm a listener voting on a staff member running for the local board, I might know whether or not I like his or her show, but I might not know anything about them otherwise.
Okay, that's a good point.
And also I might know that I hate his show, or that he doesn't even have a show. Maybe he's the board op. So I find that a disadvantage for me to evaluate a staff member. Also, everybody knows people who are on the air a lot better than people who aren't on the air. So it kind of, you see where I'm going with that.
Yeah, it's a good point.
But I really like having staff members and listeners on the same board together talking to each other. And when we increased the staff representation on the local board from 3 to 8, we did that for a purpose.
Well, this perhaps would be part of the modification of the preference voting system that,
mm-hmm.
that we would decide that we want a certain amount of staff representation on the board,
mm-hmm.
so that becomes a criteria of the voting process.
I think it's really important to have a significant and weighty staff voice because they work there. Most boards know nothing about what's going on inside an organization other than what management tells them. So when you've got staff on a board, you get a lot more access to information to the board. And maybe you can get better treatment or better working conditions and things like that.
I like your suggestion with, invite any way that you think it could be incorporated into the basic principle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mary.
Yeah, as to what Kurt says about that it would give greater weight to the staff, that's not really so. They all, because out of the 22, they don't have a majority, they only have 8. And I certainly do feel that staff should elect staff for all the reasons that Carol said. And so that part should be that way. But that's still, once they're on the board, the way they would elect the national board would be, are you considering that once they're on the local board, the staff people would have more weight?
No.
In electing the national board?
No.
You only meant in electing. Okay, so if staff elects staff and the community and the non-staff elects the non-staff, you don't need to weight them anymore.
Right.
You can adjust that. You might prefer to have more than 8, more than a third, or
yeah,
whatever.
We're gaining the weighting by the modification criteria.
So this only...
In electing the local governing board. That creates the weighting that we want to have in giving the staff more representation than an ordinary subscriber or listener.
So that's the way that would happen. And you're not talking about, you said it would have a lot of power, the local governing board, but you're not, are you specifying that and you just haven't got to it yet, or is it that the main thing you want to put forth is the proportional representation of it?
That's the main aspect, and with the feeling that the local governing board should have a lot of power and a lot of executive power in the sense of it would act sort of like a corporate board of directors, and it would appoint or key station management people, and then the station would manage itself under those people.
And I'm curious how you would determine the size of the listening area. We have some, let's say Los Angeles, how do you compare that population? Would you go on the total subscribers that exist? Is that all you would go by, just the or the size of the listening area, the number of people in the signal area that could listen? I can see
I think that would be a little bit difficult. I think you have to establish a membership criteria that is very specific, and it would at least include, and maybe there would be some additional formula, but paying subscribers, volunteer.
Right. The same as we have now.
Yeah, same
so that's
as we have now.
We have subscribers / volunteers
and
we have staff.
And also, kind of, I'm including KPFA staff and volunteers in the membership numbers.
The reason I'm bringing this up is we have the stations not in an equal footing right now. Some
right.
have been very badly dismantled, and the subscribers are in a bigger state of flux. So
it's a fluid situation. And
how would you want to handle the first? I could see where this might work better once we were all established and settled, but I think there's problems
I think it's
our first initial phase, and I don't know
proper,
if you have any ideas how you might change
I think
that.
It's proper that the stronger stations have more representation now. And as other stations become stronger, they gain voice. They gain strength.
Okay, let's go on to other people's questions. I'm just going in a circle. That's how. Jane?
My concern, have you given any thought to program? Because as I keep saying, we're a listening station, and I'm troubled by where the listener has say on what we're hearing.
Yeah. Well, that comes through the local governing board and how they select key station managers, and that's it's already an established process somewhat, and I feel okay about that basically, and so I don't have much to add in the way of details.
I just want to put out that as a question, because you've raised this point twice, so it's you're thinking about it. Is this a bylaws issue or is it a policy issue? Is it a bylaws issue to determine the scope of programming? Mm-hmm. I'm not really interested. In the way that you're asking it.
Well,
you know?
Programming has a lot of facets, including its interrelationship between other stations, national programming. I mean,
yeah.
It's not a little thing, folks. I mean, it's what goes over the airwaves is what creates listeners. It's what creates membership. It's all that.
Yes, I'm just trying to figure out how it gets to Conrad.
Did you have
I'm addressing that issue through the way the local governing board is elected by the members, basically, and the governing board has power to define how the programming of the station happens through the appointment of managers, and it could be a program director, or that's undefined at this point. But basically, the governing board has power, executive power, to appoint the managers of the station.
Okay, let's keep going around. More questions? Really?
Yes. I think I'm accustomed to a clear separation between operations and policy.
Sure.
And administration.
Right, yeah. That's what I see also.
But in this case, it appears to me that you're giving the policy to the operations personnel through their election to the board, where they then elect the managers through budget, etc., at the local level. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Only to the degree that staff members are included in membership in voting and electing the governing board. They are contributing to a self-serving, you might say.
Do you have some difficulty with that?
I don't, because it is a very small proportion of the membership. The KPFA staff and membership would be a very small proportion.
But their weighted voting influence, though, gives them.
That's the key, is how much weight, whether it should be a positive weighting or a negative weighting. That's how we address your concern, I think. And I haven't defined what that should be. I had a feeling that maybe it should be positive, a little bit more weight than ordinary subscriber, but I'm not sure. Maybe it shouldn't.
The real question is how you resolve conflicts, I think, in that model. I don't know.
So that would be an important aspect of whatever we do adopt, is the mechanism for conflict resolution. The second thing I just wanted to mention in terms of relating this to the middle road, if the labs are going to be governing boards, crucial that there be enough staff representation on the lab. If the lab is going to be governing the running of the station, you must have people who know radio to participate in those kinds of decisions.
I'm concerned that you're having the lab selecting the national board rather than the listeners. The reason I'm concerned, I know people talk about the need for checks and balances, which I agree with. For example, there need to be checks and balances between the national and local power. What concerns me by having the listeners elect the labs and then having the labs elect the national board is that it dilutes democracy without providing any real alternative to it. If the listeners really want to change the national board, they can just vote two different people on the local board who will then elect people on the national board. So it doesn't prevent the listeners from doing anything. It just makes democracy less effective.
I would suggest that it might have the opposite effect, that actually you're, because the same issue that staff members, Mary, was raising, and that the staff knows the staff better, and they can choose staff representation better than the listeners could, perhaps. I would suggest the same principle holds for the local governing boards. They know the candidates for the national board better, more intimately. They're dealing with them on a more regular basis than the listenership or the broad membership. So they're in a better position to. That would be my feeling about it.
Point of clarification, but isn't the members of the national board, aren't they coming from the local board?
They don't have to.
They don't have to.
Okay. I think we've got to speed it up a little bit because we're if anybody hasn't asked a question yet, Kurt, this round.
Kurt did ask this question.
Did you ask one this
time? I asked a question. I was actually going to make some statements, but some people have brought up some things about the power.
I understand. Let's get some other questions out.
Carol's probably going to say the same thing I was going to say.
Let's get you. I'm sorry, your name?
David O'Connell is my name, and I just want to quickly say I'm very fearful of a direct election of a national board. That's all.
Could you say why?
Because I don't think we know who anybody is. We're going to vote for somebody who's 3,000 miles away. We don't know. We just get some slick campaign, and that's that.
Okay.
That's George Bush or somebody.
Yeah, that's why. I'm
okay. And your name, please?
My name is Robin Reynolds. I like the idea of proportional representation for the different stations and their audiences, if you base it on membership and not just listenership.
It is based on membership.
But I think your other idea is fatally flawed. The idea of having proportional staff votes out of proportion to membership votes and all that. I mean, you're solving problems that don't really exist by doing that. I mean, the idea of allocating a certain number of seats to staff that staff elects gets rid of that whole need for that other kind of system.
Okay, so
he's already agreed that.
You keep re-mentioning it. I talking about whether you should give it a negative factor or a positive factor. I think you should just forget the factoring and just let the staff elect staff and the listeners elect listeners, and then then we decide as a proportion what proportion shall be staff people and what proportion shall be listeners.
Okay, let's give.
I have a question now.
Let's give Conrad. Do you have any?
All I'm saying is that I have a feeling that the staff should be included as members. The staff are part of this whole thing. They are there, and so since they are members, since I'm saying they should be members, the question becomes, in what way are they special or not? That's all I'm saying. And I'm attempting to address how you make them special.
Okay, people who have not asked a question in this round and would still like to, anybody else? Matthew? Question or comment?
My understanding is that we're working on a model in which different stations with areas have more power in terms of who goes on, gets on the national board, depending on their strength in terms of size.
Right.
Do you think that that's politically implementable within this bylaws process?
Do you think
that WPFW and KPFT will put up with that for a second?
I do. And I think it's essential. And I think if you appeal to the membership on a national level on the basis that they, each member on a national level, will have equal power, equal weight, this is the way you achieve it, by the method of proportionality. And I think the membership at the national level would feel it's unfair that some members have more power than other members. And this is what I'm addressing by using this proportional method.
Matt?
I was going to ask you the same question. I think you've answered.
Okay.
I don't react the same way you do, though. That's enough.
Okay. Any other burning questions, or can we move on to the third model, which each one keeps opening?
New cancel room.
Tens
of six.
There you go. Well, thank you.
No, thank you. If we kind of all have it in graphic form, it would be really helpful. You have a graphic there, I see.
I think you did proportionally.
Okay.
Does anybody want to take 5 seconds to wiggle in your chair or anything?
Yeah, actually, yes.
But not to leave the room or not
to
walk away?
No, just wiggle in your chair.
Is there any way to get more air in the room, or is that impossible?
It's pretty well
impossible. You all want 5 minutes?
No.
Okay, we're going to start almost immediately. There is one more seat here.
I moved in to the speaker seat temporarily.
There is one permanently available.
Okay,
Mary?
Well, I'm just wondering, email manual, this door, you just have to be a little quiet because the Prescott does a good job of this building. There's no soundproof.
Oh, is that right? Is that the
door? Oh.
Okay, we're going to start.
Oh, that's right, I saw that. That's
excuse me, sir. Sir, with the camera, we're going to start.
Excuse me.
Okay,
where Max has, surveyed the lines of issues within a station, I'm in a spaceship looking down on the country and trying to look at it from the sense of relationships between the stations. With your point very clear in the mind, what I feel we're trying to do is a national bylaw, not station bylaw.
Mm-hmm.
So in my models or the variation, what Max has done, I would leave a lot to each station to develop on its own. The core concept or philosophy behind what I'd like to propose is a federation model where the national bylaws is enough to bring all the stations within the articles and the purposes, but does allow each station to develop its own relationships and its own experimentation in how it does things. For instance, the program council I don't think should be in the national bylaws. I think that each station should be able to develop its own ideas of how that station community regulates programming, whether there should just be a program director, whether there should be a program council, who gets on that program council. I think all those things should be left for a nice fertile period of experimentation within the Pacifica Foundation community to allow some various variations to develop, so that then we can compare and contrast those variations and see if one works more or less better than another. So that's why I haven't attacked that directly. The other thing you'll see is I don't have anything listed like the station, because to me that's so inchoate. I've never understood who the station is, because sometimes you think it's the staff, but the staff are not cohesive and don't have a governing mechanism to call the station. So is it the general manager? Is it the staff? Is it the lab? None of that. So, and Max is the part I didn't address in questions, but is directly, to me, the station is not a separate box. The station is a box. It's bigger. So the lab is part of the station. And the question is, what part of the station? And the listeners are part of the station. And the question is, what part of the station? So that's why, conceptually, I look at it differently. So I'll start with this one. And the other two were kind of variations, one being a variation on that was actually generated by Conrad. But this is the picture from what I developed when I first attacked the idea in 1999. And this is the issues is who are the members, who are memberships, and what are their authorities and things. So this is schematic, not as detailed, but here's what it is. There's listener members, listener membership, and there's executive membership. The listener membership is, as a totality, the listener members of each station. And again, going back to the idea that each station can be creative, here we have staff, KPFA listener members, and I've got staff here. So the listener members of each station elect the station board. That's what this line means. But in KPFA, we have staff elect the station board.
That's K.
Oh,
you're very confused.
Okay, well, there we go. I can draw another one for KPFA. It would be the same way. So how staff and listeners participate in the election of their station board would be left under this model for each station to develop its own plan. Hmm. But the idea is that the station boards, which are considered to be governing boards, are elected by the listener membership of that area. But the reason I have a circle around this is because the listeners in all the areas would be the group that must approve changes to the articles of incorporation. And so that's a status as listener members. That's the fundamental authority that the listener members would have. In the listener members area, they would have the right to elect station boards. And for the foundation, they would have the authority to approve or not approve changes to the bylaw. The article.
Yeah.
And each station area, they would have the authority to approve the governing bylaws of the station area. Okay, like in KPFA, KPFA listeners would approve the KPFA station governing board bylaws. And of course, every time there's a power to elect, there's a power to remove. So then, each station board area, there's a station board for each area elected according to that station board's bylaws. That group becomes what's called the executive membership. that is the group that would have to approve changes to the foundation's bylaws. The listener members would approve changes to the articles. The executive membership would approve changes to the bylaws. The executive membership of all, that be all the station boards, would meet annually, once annually. And they would receive a report on the foundation from the board of directors. Instead of the station lab chairs reporting to the board of directors, this would be the board of directors would have to report to the executive membership the state of the foundation.
Excuse me, can I ask, your arrows?
Each arrow represents an election of somebody. So you've got 10 arrows here to the board of directors. Five are elected from each station board. One is elected from each station membership. And then there's five at-large directors elected by the board. By the board itself. Now, the issue here that's different from what you may think when you say, oh, at-large directors, is the nomination of who these at-large directors would be an open process, not a closed five slate, you know, white paper nomination thing. It would be a real election.
By whom?
By the board.
But anybody could nominate. The board could nominate.
But there would be an open nomination process.
Could nominate.
Yeah. There'd be, and I, you know, I'm not too detailed about that. But the point is, it's not a closed nomination. And they would still have to be listener members of some area. So your board would be 15, 10 from the, would be station area directors, 5 from the station boards, 5 from the station listeners, and then 5 at large. But they would still have to be listener members from somewhere. That's it. Must be listener members. So that's the schematic. There's some other details we can get to.
And the purpose of the at-large?
Yeah.
The purpose of the at-large, well, several for those. One would be as the, let's go back just a step. 5 would be elected in each year. So once there'd be a 3-year term. 1 year, the 5 from the listeners would be elected. The next year, the 5 from the boards would be elected. The next year, the 5 at large would be elected. So then they would be cycling terms. So the major purpose would be the sort of checks and balances issue, so that the system would not be subject to radical changes at any one. In any one year, in any one election. The other would be for the hope that we always wish that there could be people involved in the process of the board more directly with interests or, not interests, talents or experience or things they could bring into the directors that would be more immediately perceivable by the board itself for what the board needs to bring them into the process without having to deal with the filtering of kind of politics and things that would happen otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait a minute. Let's let him get through all of it and then we'll see my answers.
This was the first model I came up with. The other model here, this one, is similar. It does away with the at-large directors. This station, KFAI, Fresh Air is what they call their, Fresh Air Incorporated is the name of their board. They have two types of membership. So this would be a membership, as I said, of this type of one class and another class. This has two types of membership, but this is what's called a participating membership and a contributing membership. Participating members are staff, paid, and volunteer. And a description of that is any permanent employee as well as any volunteer who has worked for the corporation at least 9 hours in the preceding 3 months. Such volunteer work excludes their time, but does include meetings of any committee, established by the board of directors in which the participant is a member. So that idea is that through direct participation, you can become a member, and you would, and for lack of, for just saying it quickly, I said staff, but that means paid and volunteer participants are a participating member. Then you have what I call here listener members, but meaning listener sponsor members, someone who contributes $25 or whatever the minimum contribution is. Then they're a membership. Together, the blue line around them together means that they would still have together authority, such as here, to approve articles. And then the station boards would be composed of a certain amount elected by the participating or staff membership, a certain amount by the listener sponsorship membership. And the board would have, again, be three-term five, with the staff of each station electing one director, the listener members of each station electing one director, and the labs or the governing boards of each station electing one director. Again, in three-year cycles, one each doing that way. So that would be, this one would make the paid and volunteer staff have 5 seats on the national board, and at least directly. And listener members would have 5 seats. The lab, of course, could mix and match and choose either way, and so you'd have some combination on the board. In theory, you would only have to watch out for the rule of paid people being more than 49%. But since this includes volunteer people, it would be very unlikely that that would happen. And you just have to have somebody on remembering that you couldn't do that. Now, Conrad's thing sparked me last week, talking about the proportional thing. So I just schematized this real quickly today as another way of approaching it. Board of Directors 15, but this addresses what Gary was talking about. This would have one from each of the governing boards, for five. So that would be your Senate. Each station area through its governing board would have one seat on the board of directors. But then from the listener group, of course, again, this would leave for each station to develop how much proportionality or whatever between staff and listeners for that station. But as a whole, across the whole foundation, which would include staff members and listener members, the whole of the foundation would be analyzed according to some population, some membership list. And then the 10 remaining directors would be, by station percentage, rounded to with a one minimum. In other words, you would have at least a minimum of one person from each station area. But if KPFA had 3/10 of the population, it would get 3 directors. Whereas if WPFW only had 1/10, it would be guaranteed one. Or if it had a 5%, it would be guaranteed one. So they would be proportionalized to the nearest whole person according to the station percentage. But that's the way you would do elect 10 directors nationally, but then also have one director from each governing board to be have that kind of bicameralism sort of thing, although it's not two separate houses, but two separate avenues into the board.
Okay.
So the point is, I'm not really detailing here any more specifically than Max was any single particular issue. What we're trying to do is stir the juices and show up that there's all these different models out here, and for people to start thinking about them and thinking, well, maybe there is something attractive about that, or a possibility that could be interesting.
Thank you very much. I'm sure. Questions and comments, and let's see. Kurt was quicker than anybody on the draw.
But we have to remember when we come around, you've had your turn.
That's right. And that doesn't mean you get 20 questions at once either.
Well, the first question was, I just want clarification in this last model over furthest to my right. It sounded like you were saying that people, right now in our current version, the category of volunteer is in the subscriber category, and they're generally
right.
People who answer the phone
right.
as opposed to unpaid staff members.
Right.
It sounds like there you are making people who would, say, serve on lab committees, like the majority of people on our committee, would be considered in a certain way staff and would get to vote with the staff, thereby voting in a smaller pool. Is that what you said there?
What I would say is you have to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's an occasional volunteer who could maybe be called a listener member,
okay,
like someone who just volunteers during a marathon for one day in a marathon,
mm-hmm.
or a regular volunteer who comes in on a regular basis every 3 months is working at the station doing something, whether, you know.
Well, people working on lab committees.
Yeah.
They?
Yeah. Well, that could. I'm not advocating one or the other.
They either go to the staff side and have more power because proportionately.
Well,
or they go to the subscriber side.
I don't buy the premise that it's more power proportionally.
If you're electing the same amount of people, it depends.
Well, I don't call that more power proportionally.
No.
I just don't. It's just not mm-hmm. to me. But because I don't see that as the translation of power.
Oh. Okay.
You know, there are so many questions. I think we ought to give somebody else a chance to ask a question. We'll keep going around. Sorry, I can just
start on this.
I know, because he was first. All right, I'll go around this way. Okay, so Gary will be last. Nicole.
Back to the last one again. You said that I'm asking about the same bottom category of people who are on committees, for example.
Participating members.
But the thing that I wondered about, you said that those committees would have to be approved of by the board of directors. So in a situation where, I don't know if it could happen, but the board of directors was not following a mission of a lot of people's desires, they could say we don't want, theoretically, to say we don't approve of a committee to question the programming or something. That's what struck me.
I'm lost. I don't know what you're asking.
Well, you said that the committees, the people in the bottom category that are not staff, that are volunteers in terms of committees.
Okay.
What happened?
I don't know why that's confusing people. I was just reading the definition of the participating member, which in their definition could include people who work 9 hours going to committees established by the board of directors.
Well, that's
now,
question.
Now let me say, this is a station that only has one station, so one board of directors. So when I said board of directors, I should have clarified, in that case, it would be the station board,
right.
Not the board of directors.
Okay.
So that is where I caused the confusion.
Okay.
Sorry for that. But there, the idea there is, whether you fell into one camp or the other would be for the station bylaws to define. Basically, if you're talking about committees established by the board, the participation.
Okay. I'm just noticing that it's 9 o'clock. Do you guys want to go till 9:30?
Yeah.
I don't think we have a choice.
Okay. I want to get consensus. Okay. All right. Let's keep going. Yes, I'm sorry.
In the middle model, there's no direct election of the board of directors from the bottom.
No, there are. They elect 10 of the directors.
Just in what
the I didn't put the line because it's not a direct line. I could do 10 lines. You know.
Just show one.
They make 10 lines.
Okay.
So I just had it here.
No.
They elect 10 directors by station percentage. Okay. But they're not elected by each station. They're elected in a national election.
By percentage.
Well, they're elected by each station, but how many each station elects is is according to a national census, sort of, so to speak.
Right. All right, Michael.
That's why I can't say how many from each station, because until you know the national census, you can't say. But each one would have a minimum of one.
As long as it's 10.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael.
So when you're saying listen from each station, you're saying this by listeners or by who? I mean, or by the by listeners and accommodation of listeners and staff? Is
that well, that's what I would.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, for here it would be the total station
right.
membership.
And so basically, the result also would be on the total national board, there'd be at least two from each station, correct?
Minimum of two.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Anybody? Nobody else over here? Okay. Julie?
So what this is bringing up to me is that these models are focused on different ways to elect a board of directors, pretty much on that. And what I was thinking about is again, just like you're thinking about programming tonight, I'm thinking about the other stations, the stations that for some reason that's just resonating in the back of my mind a lot. And so part of this is a housekeeping question. Mm. Are there similar committees meeting in all the station areas? And is there, I think if we in this room are drawing our models with a knowledge that people in other station areas are looking at them and evaluating them and contributing their own, that would be good and necessary, but it would also influence the way we come up with models, because we're a very strong station here. And I'm paying attention to the comment that the guy made last week at the interview about how we were kind of being what kind of centric, parochial anyway, Berkeley centric. Yeah, and so this is a housekeeping question. I don't know if it's exactly to you or to the two. How is this process, this ongoing process, being handled so that there is participation throughout the network?
Carol,
if you can answer briefly.
Briefly, there are subcommittees meeting in all five station areas in New York, Houston, Los Angeles, and Washington. Meetings have already taken place or are taking place this week. It's my job, actually, to coordinate communication and sharing of models back and forth. I don't know how the hell I'm going to make that work. It's a little...
we have the website.
Well, we do have the website, and I think what we'll do is kind of through these brainstorming sessions to begin with, come up with models that we can share and critique and pass back and forth, and then go from there. We'll get a sense of Washington hates this idea. It will never fly. Mm-hmm. Or... Berkeley hates that idea, it won't fly, and then start negotiating even about how can we solve the concerns of Washington and still meet our needs here in Berkeley. That's what's going to have to happen.
The other short answer for that is what we're doing now is actually even developing vocabulary.
Yeah.
To understand what we're trying to grapple with.
Yeah.
And we'll have to share that vocabulary with the other stations and hear what vocabulary they're developing and learn what theirs is too, so we can develop a national vocabulary to even go back and forth.
Will you include incohate and incohate?
I'm going to look it up since I go home. Okay.
In terms of process, I was hoping that out of this meeting that we are having here, we could come up with a narrative, fairly simple, I'm not talking bylaws now, some three or four pages, describing a model that probably would be accompanied by a nice diagram.
Right.
One or two or three of them that we would then pass on to the others, preferably in some kind of a meeting involving a few people.
Yeah.
And of course, that would be up to you to decide that.
Yeah.
But that's the way it seems to me that we should proceed with the idea that we're going to be negotiating also.
Yeah.
My gut feeling is that given our weight, our history, the best probably that we can hope for is an equal arrangement. Okay, that's my gut feeling. If we try proposing any sort of proportional, I think they're going to shoot us down. We're going to have problems because we are the biggest and the more boisterous, if that's the right mm-hmm. word. But again, we not only must we come up with one or two or three models to discuss with the others, mm-hmm. we must also think of strategy of negotiating.
Okay, right now I would like to bring it back to the models, and we will be moving on to that next stage shortly. Okay, Jane and then Mary.
I have a concern with the absence in some of these of at-large delegates to the members of the board. And the reason that at-large members, in my opinion, are important is to make sure that you truly have diversity on the board, and that's usually a reason for having at-large directors, is to make sure that gaps mm-hmm. that weren't factored by the general voting public are collected by the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And by diversity, you mean diversity of opinion, mindset, outlook, and all of that.
And all of that. I mean, we've been talking about youth, for instance.
Sure.
If you could wind up with a board of directors totally absent thereof, and somebody should do something about it. You could wind up with somebody who knows nothing about finances. You could wind up with somebody who knows nothing about fundraising.
Okay.
I mean, there are valid reasons for including at-large delegates, and
okay.
I just would like to put in a plug for their inclusion.
Okay, Mary?
Yes, I, of course, I've been burnt, you know, we've been badly burnt at this at-large business. I had quite an opposite feeling about at-large members. And I wonder if it could be that the at-large members were specifically limited only to correct for the kinds of things Jane's talking about. That might be one thing. I don't in practice see how that could be, but I am as well concerned about that we don't have the diversity of all the kinds. And I think what we need to do is address that in the election procedures or the other procedures that we use to even get the representation in the various models.
The reason
rather than wait till we get to the national board and then these 10 people elect 5 more, I'd rather correct for it at the bottom.
Well, that's why one correction here was if the at-large directors must be listener members, you could say they must have been listener members for at least 1 year prior to their election. So nobody can rush in and say, here's my $25, I'm a listener member now.
But we also need a youth requirement. See, that's something that we had the first year.
I'm addressing your question.
Yeah, that was part of it, though. That's the youth and all that.
Well, they would have to be a youth member for at least a year under this type of model.
Okay, let's keep going around. Ted?
In all these three cases, I'm concerned about the fact that you're asking the local membership to elect a national board. And from my experience going around in the elections, the thing that I think most of the voters here were troubled by is keeping track of the local candidates. Mm-hmm. And to then ask them to keep track and distinguish national candidates, I think will be pretty impractical. Mm-hmm. I think really we should look at the idea of having the boards select the local boards selecting the national.
That's a valid model. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another model.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Mike again. I think the middle model, even though it's kind of sketchy, addresses some of the issues that I had with Conrad's model. I think, however, we'd need to increase the size of the board of directors so that in any given election cycle, one group doesn't become unfairly dominant within the framework. I'm still a bit puzzled as to how we get consistency and fairness within any of these arrangements in terms of consistency in terms of elections, consistency in terms of process and procedure, and fairness in terms of the application of different listener community models as directed to the whole rather than just a portion.
Yeah, as,
but I do,
as to the whole, yeah. you, the bylaws define your membership categories.
Yeah, I'm not just talking
so
about
that,
the
so that would be, that's where
I'm
the whole would be.
I'm talking about procedures
yeah.
and so on.
Yeah, but procedures would be yeah. individual.
And another thing that I do want to say is that I like the idea of the minimum representation and then maximizing based on membership, gross membership.
Okay. Let's go on. Carol?
The comment you made, Ted, about direct election to the board is a good one, but I think there's something really attractive about having your directors come from three different sets of, or two different sets, three here, you've got participating members, listener members, and station board members, all electing sets of directors. The thing that's attractive about that to me is it provides checks and balances. You can get, you know, we hear and I see a lot of fear that right-wing groups are going to come in and take over Pacifica. And by spreading out and having different voting pools, that might allay some of that fear.
Mm-hmm. Like that'd be an opportunity every time you...
Excuse me, well, I'll come around again.
Okay.
It might allay some of that fear. At the same time, it's very difficult as a listener to evaluate people you don't know and elect them, where the local boards electing people could solve that problem. I think also there's just one other thing that I want to say. There's a really important model that we're not discussing here that's got a lot of weight and adherence in other station areas, and that's the constituency model. And before we leave, I wonder if there's somebody, or if I could just give just a brief overview of what it is so people know that it exists.
Okay, well then we're going to have to cut this off almost immediately. Are there any other burning issues about this? People have not asked questions before because we're really going to have to, if you want to add, unless you'd like to put that over to the next meeting.
Depends on what people want to do. I think it's an important model just for people.
I understand that it's important. Do you want to give it the same kind of consideration that we've given the other
one? No.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's whoever has not asked a question on this one, I'll catch them, and then we'll go ahead.
Yeah.
Gary?
Question about the at-large. Just I'll stick to that. I don't quite understand the concept of who nominates. If the idea is to fill in, you know, to fill in something, but the nomination can only come from the board. Is that right? The board of directors.
No, I'm not going to be real specific in this group at this time about that, because that's something that would be open. My what I would like to do is draw parameters to that, which is that there would have to be an open access to the nomination, but whether that open access means I'm not going to define what it is.
Okay.
I'm just going to say I'm totally opposed to these kind of white slates, white, not, I forget what the lingo for the forum is, you know, where there's a nominating committee, that there's five seats, and a nominating committee goes out and says, here's five people, you know, do it. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But okay. there has to be some open system, whether it's a you get a current board member to nominate you, whether you get a station board to nominate you, whether you get a petition of listeners in your area to nominate you.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that's something to work out. Let me work out pieces.
And then one other small question, which is about having the layered approach of having one group or elect board members at a time for each cycle. Have you given any thought, are there any pluses or minuses that you've thought of, to having slices of each group electing their three, for example, board members per cycle?
It's I give a little thought and not much, but it just seemed unwieldy compared to doing it the other way. And also the idea of somebody new from all over being added is, or perhaps the message, you know, an incumbent reinstated, but the idea that the access is from all over. There's five stations, unless you know, how you divide that up, it's mathematically it's not clear.
Okay, if we are going to get out of here at 9:30 and hear one more model and figure out what we're going to do at the next meeting, we really are going to have to move quickly. So I have seen about five hands, including this, of additional questions, but we really are going to run out of time if we keep working on this. So
the gentleman in the wheelchair has a question.
Yes, I know. A number of people have questions.
But he's never asked.
But he hasn't asked anything yet.
Yeah, I've raised my hand.
I'm sorry.
Another model.
So. We have yet another model. Okay.
Oh, we got
okay.
We're going to have to put this other one.
Okay, so I suggest that we put the other two models off till the next meeting so that you get a fair representation reach of them. And Carol, can you?
Well, you can edit those out, though. So that's
We don't have time for a presentation if we're going to stop at 9:30. And I think in fairness to your model, we need to give it the same time that we've given the others. So let's wait until the next meeting. We'll have two more models presented. That means we can continue our round of questions with this. All right. So let's keep going.
Well, we could make an assignment that everybody should read this so they'll be prepared.
That would be a very good start. It's just how realistic is that?
Well, it's realistic.
Do you think so? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Everybody read it.
Seems
okay.
Great.
But we also want to give the author a chance to present. I think we should give a fair shot to each of them. Okay. Now let's continue with the questions. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What is the gentleman's name?
Yeah.
Oh,
Hale
Zookas.
Hale
Zookas.
Hale Zookas. Okay, Hale.
Yeah. One M.
Hale.
H-A-L. So it should be, one thing that should be,
considered.
Early.
One thing that could be considered early.
You think I could ask my question while they're developing?
No.
No.
I mean, aren't we basically developing everything out of the level? And
Dorothy, please come.
What's the maximum size of
the board?
The board?
Should
be.
What's the size of the maximum size?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. And we had at the last meeting, it was pointed out size, if it gets too big, it will be just too cumbersome. These models here, I've used 15 because it's an interesting number that factors with five stations, a multiple of five works pretty good. I would say you could go up to 20, but no more than 20 would be functional. You could be as low as five, but that would be way too few to get any work done. So I would say between 10 and 20 is the amount of the way the board should be for to have enough people, but not be too many as to be diluted. And I just threw in 15 because that seemed the easiest amount. But it's a fair and important question that people need to think of.
I'm going to call on you, and then I'm going to go over here to.
Well, I'd like to ask Hale. Did you have a number in mind?
No.
Okay. Just the question should be asked.
Okay.
Who? Between.
15. 15. And
25. Okay, between 15 and 25. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm Robin.
Robin, right.
First of all, I do not like the at-large director idea. It's just, I don't know why, but it just, I don't like it. And I guess, just like in the previous, in Max's model, I kind of want to combine the two that I like better. I like the idea of getting different segments contributing to the board, so you got a staff representative and a local advisory representative and a listener representative sort of, you know, coming from those different pools. I like that, but I also like the proportional representation too, and, you know, I'm not, you know, I just wanted to give you that feedback.
Well, it's us. I mean, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just want to give us that feedback.
All I'm doing here is channeling. Not me.
Very well. Okay, Conrad, and then this one.
Yes, regarding the issue of gaps in the competency of the board of directors that get elected by this process, do you think that they should be perfectly free to contract with independent experts to fill in the expertise gaps that may be present in the board of directors that wouldn't be elected?
If they're not elected and they're not members of the board would always be free to do that.
Yeah.
And your name?
Hi. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm kind of new to the scene. I'm Richard Bard. I've been supporting from Sly Park up around Pollock Pine, that's halfway between Pollock Pine, or between Sacramento and where you spend your money up there in Reno. I've got a 20-acre spot. I told Jim Bennett I got all kinds of visions and fantasies about putting an ISDN line, and I immediately got slapped down like, well, the SEC shut down ISDN. Well, okay, what can we do? I mean, I've got maybe some expertise, management, whatever. I drove trucks for 25 years with a college degree, and I like this guy. My uncle went nuts when I told him the story about your uncle. You know, it's family. Okay. And I don't know why I'm here, but I would just offer, as far as your discussion is concerned, don't get caught up in the myth that there's safety in numbers, because if you get more people, I don't even know the issues at this point, but I would say that if you get more people, you're increasing your exposure. If you're worried about right-wing people coming in, the more lenders you've got to break, the more apt you are to, and the insurance rate's going to go up.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for letting me know.
Did you have your hand up? No? Okay.
I think it was a wonderful meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm proud to be here.
Okay, and Ted, let's see. Now, wait, if I'm going to start around again, I think I would go to...
Did Ted already ask the question?
Yeah, he already spoke, I think. Didn't you want to...
Yeah, he did.
He
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Oh! Okay, Julie hasn't spoken on... No, you have. Okay.
So we're done on this one.
Do you want to go around again? Do you have more questions, or do you want to stop? This is probably a good place to stop.
I'd like to make one general comment.
I think that we can have a rather general comment, but we're done for this segment.
Done for
the
segment, and Greg can sit down.
Okay.
Amazing work.
Do we talk? All the models that we've been discussing assumes that we have exactly five stations. There is a possibility that some benefactor somewhere might want to do what the guy in New York did and give us a new sixth station. So we have to be able to meet a bylaw flexible enough to absorb another station.
Okay. Any other sort of wrap-up comments about this, what we've been doing? Not about any of the models, but about what we've been doing. Or I'd entertain suggestions about how to proceed from here. We know that next time we're going to have about an hour's discussion of two more models, and then we have to decide what to do next, how we're going to move forward. Kurt?
Well, these are more like questions that I would like to see in the hopper in terms of these models and other future models, which have to deal with... There are people who listen to Pacifica programming on affiliate, and at least in the past, Pacifica would do fundraising on that. So those people are not members of any station.
Yeah.
They give their money to Pacifica because of the programming. And it's conceivable that some of that programming may be spurred in different ways, not through affiliates, through satellites and through other ways. So, and of course, we also have internet members who are members of KPFA, but they may be in London, but they, you know. So I just want to point out that the connection, the geographical connection to a station is no longer necessarily going to be central.
Okay.
The other thing is, I think that the affiliates themselves, and we have 50 or 60 depending, should be able to put some people on the national board, because the national board is probably going to be responsible in some way for national programming, and that's what the affiliate deals.
Okay.
So they should have a say. And then the final thing has to do with diversity issues in terms of the national board and the local board. In the first model on the left here, it seems that since each constituency, except for the at-large, are being elected, are only electing one person, you don't have the ability to address diversity issues. And in the past, the national board had a rule about only so many white folks, and our local board has a rule about only so many white folks. And I think that these are relevant rules, and we need to be, whatever we design here has to allow that we wind up with a specifically ethnically diverse group at both the local level and the national level.
This has been mentioned several times, and as one of the things that we have to keep bringing up, which we are doing. Please, no more about the specific models if possible. We've got to move ahead to the next meeting. So I would like to entertain some suggestions about how we can proceed from here. We're going to get two more models at the next meeting, and then we're going to have a wealth of great ideas. And they're not all the same. I guess that's better than the other. So I'd like to know if people have suggestions about how we can proceed. Maybe Carol has an idea, or Mary?
Did you want to go first, Carol?
Go ahead.
Didn't have her hand up.
I have to say that it was difficult for me to get the explanations down from this, but
I understand.
Gary's recording this, I understand, so I'll get...
And I assume that the authors will make themselves available.
And as soon as we get... Yeah, if any of the authors can put anything out to our list here, that would be really helpful, and also everybody should be signed up on it. And if we can get these pictures up on the web so that if that can happen fast enough, then we can all be looking at these, and there are many common elements.
Right.
And we could begin, each of us, to try to consolidate them according to the common features. If they all have that, then we could just focus on the things that are different. If we could, you know, real quickly in the game next time, get that out of the way. So we're not discussing all these models. We're really discussing maybe five points or whatever.
Commonality.
Yeah, and then we could find the differences between them and maybe come up with a less than seven models or whatever. And the other thing was that I think we all have to begin considering, I don't know about buying another station, but we all have to have in mind a provision for other technologies, other things that might happen as to digital stuff when there's 20 stations on one frequency and blah, 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 so that there's some flexibility built into them all, and we could, authors don't have to add it, but we could all focus on that too next time to see if we come up with something to add flexibility for the technologies we don't know anything about.
We might
Where's the list? I need to pass it around again.
I've never seen the list.
Anybody who hasn't signed up, if you don't get your name and email on there, you won't get all this rich info. If you haven't signed up yet, please see it. Okay, Max, and then
others. I support Mary. I think we... The last part of the coming meeting should be devoted to kind of a boiling down of all of these ideas into two or three, I guess, working models, if that's the right word.
You got a stock pack.
Okay, excuse me. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. And we have a lot on our plate. I'm not quite sure how best to do that. It's very definitive.
Okay, if there are any of you who have presented the models, or anyone else who sees a way of bringing any of these together next time, if you want to do some preliminary work, we certainly would welcome that. So if you come ready with some ideas about how to take idea A, idea B, idea C, please be ready to present that. And if you have it in a graphic design, you've seen what impressed, it really was helpful for this discussion. So I think that would be very helpful. Okay, Conrad.
Yes, in this light, I would like to have the email addresses of all the participants and phone numbers published as soon as possible so that it can facilitate networking.
Maybe I want to talk about that.
Okay.
As a housekeeper and with 2 minutes left, there are certain things I'd like to address. Several people asked that their email addresses not be given out, saying that they didn't want to be involved in back and forth crowd traffic. So I'm not comfortable with doing that. What I would suggest is that anything that you want distributed with your email address you send to me, and I'll distribute it, and you can tell people how to contact you. That's what I'd like to do to honor the requests of several people who don't like group discussions going back and forth.
It's not that they don't like group discussions going back and forth. They don't want them on their doorstep.
Yeah.
Other people can discuss back and forth.
People don't want people, everybody else hitting reply all and getting 72 replies.
Right. As long as there's a channel that I can communicate
with. So send it to me with your email address so people can respond to you. The other thing I'd like to say is that last week I distributed a summary of a model from Roger Dittman.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me an attachment with more details.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to ask everybody to take a look at it, because this is really the classic constituency model that I was going to try to explain tonight.
Did you pass that out, or is that your
element? I emailed it.
You emailed it.
Okay.
I emailed it, and if you didn't get it, email me, and I'll send it again. Roger's details are voluminous, so I'm not sending those around. But you can request them, and I'll get them to you.
Your email is wildrose. Is that
wildrose@pon.net. And Gary will have our meeting notes up and photographs up, and you'll all get the link again as soon as I get the notes. I'll send it around again.
I'd like to say many thanks to the technological heroes of the group. I have to apologize. I did forget that there was another model, and definitely I want you to get equal time, so we'll do that next time. Yeah, certainly.
I came across this evening.
Will it help people in making models or just comparing models with the people who know what some of the regulations and rules and stuff are, you know, that govern some of the,
yes,
functions, could put some of them out so we could, put them in the list so it helps us build the model.
You mean more details?
Yeah, what?
You mean the law?
Some of the law and some of the things that people know, like if there's two directors from the National Board on the labs, then it could be a committee. You know, that's one, important thing. You know, there's other things that, has to have a different number of members, has to have a different number of forum, has to have a location,
You mean what makes up bylaws?
No, but there's some, if they know anything beyond what's in the article, what's in the house, how to write a book, beyond the normal.
I'd like to respond to that. And Jim, the reason I would be very reluctant to suggest anybody doing that is because, one, it would stifle creativity, and two, there's almost always a way to get it done if the idea is there. You can find a legal way of getting it, and if there's something that either I or Carol or anybody else knows about that is proposed that's definitely not going to work, you'll hear about it. So I would prefer that the group just be allowed to brainstorm and then find out if there's something we can't do, rather than try to tell people parameters with too much legalese ahead of time.
I would agree with that. That's exactly what I've seen and what lawyers have told me. Just write down what you want. We'll figure out a way to make it work. Our problem is agreeing, figuring out what we agree about. Carol, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I don't really need to add it. Gregory said it, except that sometimes if you know a rule and spread it, it's a bad rule and wrong and bad law.
Exactly.
It happens a lot.
True. Very true.
Okay, any other, Julie, you have your hands up?
Yeah, I just one thing is a reminder that if we talk about, not a reminder, but a point, that if we talk about distilling things down into one or two or this and that, to realize that we're probably going to get at least three or four models, maybe from other stations, from other station areas. So we're nowhere near ready to do that until we get a fair hearing from other people's proposals. What I would find useful is something that Kurt mentioned, that some people know a lot about our relationship with all of our constituent parts, like labs and affiliates and satellite bands and all of the aspects that may be subject or appropriate to be addressed in bylaws. I don't know anything pretty much beyond, you know, the four groups that Max laid out. Maybe that's all that you do need to address in bylaws. But if there are other kind of large groups, it would be nice to know about them. That's different than, than what's legal. My final point is that it would sure be great if we could make a concerted effort to get more diversity, as in youth and every other kind of diversity, on this bylaws committee and on the other bylaws committees in the other stationaries. And not that I have an answer to that.
Yeah, any suggestions about how to do that?
Well, yeah, I think maybe
everybody bring one.
Well, maybe something should be said on the station. I'm not sure.
We've been saying it.
Yeah, there were lots. That's why I'm here.
I heard
everything. Yeah. Some people were here last week. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's always a drop off. I'm sorry. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Just maybe not the final word, but maybe to reinforce why I drove 150 miles to you. I mean, it's something told me to be here. I think that this what we're doing here, I'm not even sure what the purpose of the meeting is. I kind of wandered in the middle of it. I think that what you're doing here is minutiae, looking at the internal side, but another dimension is the external.
Could you wait a minute, please? You're not quite done.
The external. If you're in an adversarial situation with competitors, whether it's KGO, ABC, whatever, you got to listen to them. You got to be listening to Art Bell and know what he's talking about. Bringing this issue back. And maybe you got some friends at KGO. Bernie Ward and I heard Rachel Charles, you know, something like that. I listened to her just on KPFA. And she said, oh, that explains why you're weird. You know, well, I'm not sure what they can say, but you got to keep listening.
What we're dealing with right now is trying to come up with a governance document for the whole network.
And there are other committees looking at other issues, but this has a very specific minutiae task.
Right. Thank you all very much for your patience.
Thank you.
If anybody is willing to try to coalesce some of these things, those people will become our local heroes this time. That will really work. Carol, do you know where we're going to be meeting?
We actually have this room reserved for next Tuesday.
Okay.
But I've been asked to change the meeting and not hold it on Tuesday because there's a big meeting in San Francisco on Tuesday.
About what?
It's the class with Dan Coughlin and Ian Bowles.
This is the music room.
Yeah, I'm keeping it for Tuesday. I may not be able to change it for Thursday, so unless you're notified otherwise by me in the next couple of days, I feel it's going to be Tuesday.
Okay.
That's a long-term offer.
Are we supposed to pull the chairs? Well, we can't acknowledge the chairs.
Carol, does anybody know?